We're going to read a very well-known verse, John chapter 3, verse 16. If you ever went to Sunday school, you learned this. And most folks know it, but perhaps you don't. And it's a very simple verse. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We'll read that again. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Now God will bless his word. I suppose it has often been said that this is probably the most quoted verse in the Bible. It certainly is true to say that folks have said that it's probably, if we do know the Bible at all, it's one of the very best known verses to be found in the Word of God. And there is within that verse a statement, for God so loved the world. And I want to turn our attention tonight to a little question. If God so loved the world, tell us, how did he show it? And how was it to be shown? And I want this evening just to turn your attention to one or two things that prove to us that God did love the world, and that because of that, he did send his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. We are preaching the gospel tonight, not so that this will just be another gospel meeting, one of many that will fade from memory. I am preaching particularly tonight to those who have never put their trust in Jesus Christ as their Savior. I'm preaching because it's vital that this very night you get matters put right with God. I'm preaching because the gospel is not something to be toyed with. The gospel is not something to be played with. The gospel is not something to be forgotten. It is vital. It is necessary. It is of great importance that if you are not saved by the grace of God, you pay attention to the preacher, and this very night you put your trust and your faith for eternity in the person of the Lord Jesus Christ, who is the Savior of the world. Methinks that probably most of you have heard the gospel before. You've listened to it. You know it inside out. You can quote John 3 and 16. You know the verses of the Bible. You've heard them. You've heard them preached from. You've heard them spoken about, and you're still not saved. And you're standing tonight outside of salvation. You have no security for eternity. You have no guarantee that you will ever get to heaven. You are in a dangerous position, a position that demands that you listen to the preaching of the gospel. And tonight I'm picking up this very great word that we have in John chapter 3 and verse number 16. You've heard it before. You know it. You understand it, but perhaps you've never believed it, never trusted it, never put your faith in the Savior. And the gospel tonight is urgent. We are not here just to pass an hour. I haven't come all the way from Scotland just to pass an hour and then pass on. I've come here so that unsaved folks tonight might get saved, so that those who don't know the Savior might come to know him. I am in the business of seeing folks saved. It's an important business. It's the best business there ever is in the world. And tonight we are telling you that you must not, never, not tonight, leave this hall without being able to say, I put my trust in the Savior. I'm on the way to heaven. Folly, foolishness abides those who turn their back in Christ. And I want to ask the question, how can I trust this verse? How can I put my faith in this verse? How can I lean in this verse? How can I stand with confidence in this verse? I'm going to give you a number of reasons tonight why you can do that and why you must listen to what the Savior says. This is not playing at meetings. This is your eternity. This is your future for heaven or the lake of fire, as we've already heard. Now I'm turning your attention to this. How can I trust the fact of John 3 verse 16? Let me tell you how I trust it firstly. I trust it because God said it. You say, what do you mean by that? I trust it because God said it. He put it in his word, and we tonight believe what God has said. As a matter of fact, everything that he says is true. Every word that he speaks is vital. Every proclamation he makes is real. And here is God speaking. Don't turn your back on it. Don't turn away from it. This is a voice from heaven. For God so loved the world. The world is unlovable. Sinners are unlovable. We are unlovable. But God, out of the vast reservoir of divine grace and divine love and divine care, God so loved the world. It's been said that that's the longest so in the Bible. God so loved the world. And I want you to take the spotlight onto yourself tonight. Come on, are you saved? Take the spotlight on yourself and ask this very vital, telling question that probes right down into your soul. Do you really believe that God loved a world of sinners such as you? The fact is remarkable. The truth is reliable. The statement is foundational. God so loved the world. And tonight here, in this town, in this hall, you can have the transaction made for eternity. And you can leave this hall certain, sure, confident on the fact that you're on your way to heaven. What a prospect. And the first reason I give you why I can put my trust in John chapter 3 verse 16 is a simple, clear one. Because God said it. And every word of God is true. There is no such thing as a word of God that did not come to pass. This is God's word. This is not the writings of men of old without any authority. This is not just another book. This is not just one of many messages. The book is unique. The message is unique. And the love of God is real and pure and holy. And God loved the world. And you're sitting on the seats here tonight, and you know the gospel, and you've heard it, and it's been preached to you, and you're not saved, and you're denying the fact that God loves you. For God so loved the world. That tells me that God loves sinners. But I want you to turn your attention tonight to the second guarantee I have that John chapter 3 verse 16 can be relied on. I want to turn your attention to it. Not only did he say it, but he showed it. And I would turn your attention to Galatians chapter 2 verse 20. You don't need to turn to it. And here is a man who says, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. Is that not a tremendous thing? Here again is the second guarantee. Not only did God say it, but God showed it, publicly declared it and showed it. And here we have this man, the Apostle Paul, saying, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. He saw the gospel and he saw the great light from heaven, and he realized that the love of God was for him as an individual. Now listen, have you got that tonight? Now come on, don't play with eternity. Don't delay about eternity. Tomorrow's sun may never rise to bless thy long deluded sight. This is the time, oh then be wise, thou wouldst be saved. And I change it. You must tonight. This is vital. And so God not only said it, but God moved to show it, to declare it, to make it public, so that everyone might know the Son of God, the Lord Jesus, who loved me and gave himself for me. Tell me tonight, do you really feel in your soul that you are not worth it? For it to have cost the Savior Calvary in order for your soul to be saved. I want to tell you tonight, Don't weigh it in the balances of your own soul. Weigh it in the balances of heaven, the balances of eternity. And the Son of God loved you and was prepared to give himself on the cross of Calvary for you. And you can leave this place tonight. And you can say, not for me. And you can say, I live a good life, but not for me. I tell you, you'll look back on tonight as the dreadful moment when you turned your back on Christ. This is not playing at meetings. This is real. And so the God of heaven, not only in John chapter 3, verse 16, said it, God so loved the world, he showed it by sending his Son to die on the cross of Calvary, so that individuals such as the writer of the letter to the Galatians can say, and you could say it tonight if you walk out that door, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The salvation of a sinner is so important in the sight of God that it cost the blood of Calvary to make it possible for you to be saved. You've heard it often. You see, there's nothing new coming from this preacher. I'm thankful there's nothing new. Every time the gospel is preached, it's the same message. And you know why? Because there's only one gospel, only one message, only one way to heaven, only one way to have eternal life. And so let me say it again. And I'm going to repeat it until it burns down into your soul and it makes itself just to bear and weigh on your mind, the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. The cross of Calvary, you know about it. The cost of Calvary, you know about it. The greatness of Calvary, you know about it. Why have you never got saved? Doesn't make sense. God said it. God showed it. And can I tell you the next thing about it? God saves by it. God saves by it. Salvation is a great thing. I'm quoting a verse now, another very well-known verse. A real Sunday school verse, this one. Easy to learn, easy to lodge in your mind. And here you have it, a very clear verse. And it says this, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. John chapter 10, verse number 9. Here we have this great and glorious truth that he said it, he showed it, and he saves by it. I am the door. A great declaration. He shall be saved. A great deliverance. By me, if any man enter in, a great decision. Three things I find in John chapter 10, verse number 9, about this gospel. Listen to them again. Don't forget them. Lodge them in your soul. Get saved tonight before the preacher stops. John 10, verse 9. I am the door. The Lord Jesus making a great proclamation. I am the door. What is he claiming? He's claiming this. Salvation is necessary and he is the only way. Simple. You know it. You've heard it. You understand it. He is the only way. Simple and clear. And so not only is the only way, but he declares it. He does not say, I am a door. He says, I am the door. He's saying, not only am I the door, I am the only door. There is no other teaching, no other philosophy, no other so-called religion, no other message that can take you to heaven. He is the one, the only means of salvation. Isn't it tremendous that as the gospel is written into the word of God, that such profound truths can be expressed in such simple, clear, understandable statements. I am the door. What a proclamation. He stands there in all the dignity of his deity and he says, I am the one, the only door to heaven. Now, but it says something else. It says, by me, if any man enter in. In that verse, you have two great certainties and one great uncertainty. Great certainty one, I am the door. Great certainty two, he shall be saved. Great uncertainty in your response to it. By me, if. The great if of uncertainty. And the uncertainty is not because of failure in the gospel. The uncertainty is because of failure in you. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved. What a message. A great proclamation. Then here we have it, right in the middle, right at the end. He shall be saved. What a certainty there is about that. But this in the middle, this great uncertainty, by me, and listen, if any man enter in, that means any person. Do you see, this door is open to absolutely everybody. And you know, every time you go through a door, as from now, you see this. Written on the doorpost, I am the door. Written across the lintel, by me, if any man enter in. Written in the other doorpost, he shall be saved. See it in every door you ever walk through. The message of the gospel, clear, plain, simple, easy to understand, so that even a child can understand. And so, in John chapter 3, we had this tremendous verse. We know it's true because God said it. We know it's true because he showed it in sending his son to die on the cross. We know it's true because he saves by it. Because he's proclaimed, I am the door, by me if any man enter in, he shall be saved. I like the certainty of that. This is not an uncertain gospel. You don't go out the door thinking you might have it. I tell you, you go out the door rejoicing that you've got it for all eternity. Because one of the great things about this gospel is once you have it, you can never lose it. There's a lot of things we can lose in life. There's a lot of things can go, but this never can. And you cling on to this, and for all eternity, you'll rejoice in the night that you put your trust in Jesus Christ. Hey, but there's more. Oh, there's glorious more. He protects us in it. If I had to turn your attention to John chapter 10 again, I would read this. I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. What a promise. I tell you, let this fill your soul. He says, I'm going to give my sheep. That's those who trust him. I'm going to give my sheep eternal life. I tell you, we are not dealing here with minor matters. We are dealing here with the one great matter that must be dealt with in time. And the Lord Jesus says, you tonight put your trust in me and I will give you eternal life. He says, I give my sheep eternal life. He likens those who trust them to a sheep, a herd of little sheep. There they are, a flock of sheep. And he cares for them, and he leads them, and he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish. There are a lot of folk face a lot of fears in life. Put your trust in Christ, and this is a fear you need never have. He will never take eternal life away. He gives it for eternity. He gives it forever. He gives it for all the years of your living, and then he gives it for all that glorious eternity, and he gave it as a gift. You didn't buy it. You didn't work for it. You can't buy it. You can't work for it. You didn't study for it. No, there's no study course in this world. The only thing you need to read and pay attention to is the Bible. And he says, I give unto my sheep eternal life, and they shall never, 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 never perish. And as the aeons of eternity pass in the presence of Christ, you joy and rejoice that as a guilty sinner, deserving God's judgment, deserving the lake of fire, he picked you up and plucked you out and set your feet fair in heaven. You say to me, preacher, tonight, I'm not that kind of sinner. I'm quite a good sinner. When Paul wrote his epistle to the Romans, he defined three kinds of sinners. The first was foul. The second was fair. The third was favoured. A foul sinner descending to the cesspit of sin at its lowest. And then in Romans chapter 2, a fair sinner, a nice living, tidy kind of individual, the kind of folk you could have as a neighbour, the kind of folk you would speak to in the street, nice people, and still not saved, and still going to the lake of fire. And then favoured folks who were brought up with a Bible in their hands, had it read to them, had it explained to them in their own home, and turned their back in it. Foul, fair, favoured sinners, every single one of them, if they don't accept Christ on the road to eternal judgment. And here's the favour. He said it. He showed it. He saves by it. He protects us by it. I give unto my sheep eternal life and they shall. I tell you, it's a folly to refuse to accept what God is offering tonight. But he does more than that. There is no end to the grace and the goodness and the glory of God when it comes to this gospel. Do you know what he does? If you put your trust in him tonight, he takes you into his family. Is that not a great thing? He takes you into his family. You're no longer out in the peripheral. You're no longer out in the side. You're actually in it. We have it, haven't we? I will be a father unto you. This John's gospel tells us. He takes you into his family and you then have the care of the God whom you can address as Father. If you're saved and you bow your knees to pray tonight, just pause before that you can bow your knees in the presence of God and you can say, Father, Father. If you're not saved, you cannot do that. You're not in his family. He's not your father. Spiritually, no. But if you were to get saved tonight, you can bow in the presence of God and you can lift your heart in exulting joy and say, Father. Tell me, will you be able to do that tonight? Now come on, answer it for yourself and your own soul. Answer it before God. And if you say to me, it's not important tonight whether I can do that or no, I tell you, you have never understood, you've never listened. That you can go into the presence of God and you can say, Father. The Lord Jesus told us, when we pray, that's what we can do. And so you have a father to protect you, and a father to keep you, and a father to bless you, and a father to go with you. And if you get saved tonight, you can bow as you thank him for salvation coming into your soul. You can bow and say, Father. Oh, John 3 and 16 really moves out, doesn't it? What more can I say? He takes us to heaven. Now don't you go walking out the door tonight saying that preacher was just talking a lot of nonsense. You can rob a man of much. You can rob a woman of much. You can rob them of your possessions. You can rob them, I tell you. You can't rob them of what they know to be true. I'm not here playing at meetings. I'm as serious could be. Because what I say to you tonight, I'll give an account for. Did I tell you clearly? Did I tell you plainly? We know that John 3:16, because he said it, because he showed it, because he saves by us, because he protects us, because he brings us into the family, because he takes us to heaven. And listen to a man who was looking forward to heaven. Oh, he was looking forward to it. He says it is to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. You say, far better than what? Far better than the worst things that happen on earth? No, far better than the best things that happen on earth. Depart to be with Christ, which is much, far better. That's what he actually said. Now, have you got that promise in your soul? For God so loved the world, so great was his love, his care, his compassion, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. It's got the stamp of divine approval on it. It is true. It cannot be changed. It cannot be altered. It cannot be denied. You go out the door saying, I don't believe it. Do you think that changes God's word at all? Whether you believe it or not, it's true. And God so loved the world. You say, well, it's all right for you. Maybe you're standing there saying, well, you consider yourself to be good enough to be saved. Not at all. There's not one person who gets saved who thinks they're worth of it. Not one person gets saved who thinks they're good. Not one person gets saved who think they've done well. The moment you get saved, you're saying, I am a guilty sinner. I deserve God's judgment. There is no good thing in me whatsoever. That's what the Bible says. Absolutely nothing. I have no right by my own merit to get to heaven. I have no right by my own merit to have eternal life. I have no right by my own merit to be blessed with all these blessings. No right at all. So I bow in the presence of God and I just ask him to save my soul. A guilty, hell-deserving sinner. And remember what I quoted. Tomorrow's sun may never rise. To bless thy long deluded sight, this is the time, O then be wise. Thou wouldst be saved. Why not? Tonight. For God so loved you that he gave his only begotten Son that you should not perish but have everlasting life. God said it. And therefore it's true. And before you leave this hall tonight, you get the things put right with God. It is the response that he expects, and it's the response that he deserves. Just to do that. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Shall we pray?